Welcome to another podcast from IPAN, the Independent and Peaceful Australia Network. I'm Andrew and I have with me Bevan Ramsden. Today we'll examine the worsening crisis between the US and Iran and show how this demonstrates very clearly the need for a truly independent Australian foreign policy and a self-sufficient energy policy. Bevan, what's the background to this crisis?
To understand the US-Iran crisis, we must go back to 1951, when the popular, democratic and secular government of Dr. Mohammad Mazadeq was elected with a pledge to nationalise Iran's British-controlled oil industry and use its profits to benefit the people. Mossadegh carried out this promise in May 1951, and in August 1953, his government was overthrown in a coup organised by the United States and Britain, bringing to power Reza Pahlavi, the Shah of Iran, who promptly restored United States and British control of Iran's oil industry, with the United States grabbing the major share. This foreign plunder of Iran's oil wealth, in addition to the brutality and corruption of the Shah's regime, caused intense popular resentment and was a major factor in the 1979 Islamic Revolution, which overthrew the Shah and restored to Iran control of its oil industry. Ever since, the United States has imposed sanctions on Iran, ringed it with military bases, and sought to undermine and overthrow its government. On July the 3rd, 1988, the United States warship Vincennes shot down an Iranian civil airliner on a scheduled flight with a loss of 290 lives. Faced with unrelenting United States hostility, Iran has developed a defensive ballistic missile capability. It has also developed a nuclear industry for power generation, which, as a sovereign state, it is fully entitled to do so, and has consistently rebutted US allegations that it plans to acquire nuclear weapons. Andrew, can you explain the application of the US sanctions regime on Iran?
The US continues to accuse Iran of seeking to acquire nuclear weapons without any real evidence that it was doing so, and has, through the United Nations, imposed crippling economic sanctions in an effort to force Iran to make a commitment not to produce enriched uranium for nuclear weapons and to allow international inspection of its facilities. The sanctions have had a severe impact on the lives of the Iran's people. For example, hospitals have been unable to purchase spare parts for equipment used in cancer treatment. In 2015, the United Nations, under pressure from the US Obama administration, negotiated with Iran an agreement called the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA, which had the support of the European powers and involved Iran making a commitment not to produce nuclear weapons and allow international inspection of its nuclear facilities. After the international inspectors were satisfied that Iran was in compliance, the JCPOA took effect. On the 16th of January 2016, it was announced by the International Atomic Energy Agency that Iran had adequately dismantled its nuclear weapons program and the sanctions were immediately lifted.
Shortly after Trump was elected in 2016, he denounced the JCPOA agreement as a bad deal. On May the 18th, 2018, the United States withdrew from the JCPOA, reimposed economic and other sanctions on Iran, and threatened to blacklist any US or foreign company that continued to have dealings with Iran. This caused consternation among the United States' European allies, who pointed out that Iran was abiding by the JCPOA, and they were determined to keep it going because it had achieved basically what they wanted. As a counter to the US financial sanctions on Iran, in February 2019, France, Germany, and the United Kingdom announced that they had created a payment channel named Instex to bypass the US sanctions regime. The EU also attempted to counter US pressure by threatening to fine European companies who complied with the United States sanctions. The EU, however, was powerless to stop European companies from complying with the sanctions because those companies could not afford to lose their US business. So, Andrew, what was the response of Iran to this?
Iran, seeing the EU's inability to prevent the US re-imposing sanctions, has gradually backed out of the JCPOA and warned that it would soon be exceeding the upper limit set by the joint agreement for its uranium enrichment program. The US has increased pressure on Iran with the deployment of an aircraft carrier and 1,000 more US troops to the Middle East, and now demands that Iran end its ballistic missile development program. In mid-June 2019, two oil tankers, one Norwegian and the other Japanese, were attacked and set on fire in the Gulf of Oman, which borders Iran. The US accused Iran of being behind these attacks, an accusation Iran denied. Norway, the EU, the UN and Japan were skeptical of the US claims and called for an independent investigation. The US has meantime stepped up its propaganda campaign against Iran and is planning airstrikes.
The Jerusalem Times of June 17, 2019 reports that diplomatic sources at the United Nations headquarters in New York revealed to Mariv that they are assessing the United States' plans to carry out a tactical assault on Iran in response to the tanker attack in the Persian Gulf. The military action under consideration would consist of air attacks on facilities linked to Iran's nuclear program, the officials further claimed.
Bevan, how would such military action by the United States affect Australia?
Successive Australian governments have allowed us to become dependent on imported petroleum products, including a significant proportion from the Middle East shipped via the Straits of Hormuz. The eastern shore of this strait is Iranian territory and has defensive missile installations along its length. A US war on Iran would undoubtedly disrupt or even block completely the passage of oil tankers through the Straits of Hormuz, thus creating a fuel crisis in Australia with serious and unpredictable consequences. Clearly, a US war with Iran is not in Australia's interests, yet our military alliance with the United States makes it inevitable that we will be drawn into such a war. US military spokespersons are already hinting that allies such as Australia would be expected to support a US war on Iran on the basis of protecting their oil supplies, ignoring the obvious fact that war on Iran would prevent ships using the Straits of Hormuz anyway. Other sources have pointed out that tankers could not transit the Straits of Hormuz in the event of war because insurance companies would not cover them. Clearly, Australia's policy of being joined at the hip with the United States is causing a major contradiction in our foreign policy. We cannot safeguard our oil supplies and also support a US war on Iran. We urgently need an independent foreign policy operating for the benefit of the Australian people, and this means distancing ourselves from the US and the alliance.
Bevan, how has the Australian government responded to the present critical and worsening situation?
When President Trump withdrew US support for the JCPOA, the Morrison government continued to support the deal after a review found it had curbed Iran's nuclear program as intended. However, Prime Minister Morrison said in December 2018 that Australia would keep the option of additional autonomous sanctions under active review and repeated United States accusations that Iran was continuing to destabilize the region. In August 2019, at the US-Australia-Osman conference, US Secretary of State Pompeo put pressure on Australia to commit naval assets in support of US military operations in the Straits of Hormuz. Prime Minister Morrison acceded to this pressure and on 13th of January 2020 dispatched the Australian frigate HMAS Toowoomba for a 6 months deployment in the Straits of Hormuz as part of a US-led coalition, supposedly for the purpose of ensuring maritime security and stability in the Middle East. Iran has, however, persistently stated that it would never block the Straits of Hormuz because they need that shipping lane kept open for their trade. There were many community voices raised in opposition to this government decision, including former senior Australian diplomats and a former army chief who considered that the decision would most likely worsen the situation rather than improve it. On January 2, 2020, the United States carried out the drone assassination at Baghdad Airport of Iran's top military commander, who had gone to Iraq to broker a peace deal between Iran and Saudi Arabia. Killed with him were a number of Iraqi military personnel. Iran responded with a rocket attack on US military installations in Iraq. This prompted the Iraqi parliament to call for all foreign troops, including those of the United States and Australia, to leave the country. At the time of recording this podcast, the US and Australian governments have ignored this request. The call for no war on Iran has echoed around the world, with anti-war rallies on this theme being held in many countries. In Australia, IPAN has joined other anti-war organisations in calling for no war on Iran and the withdrawal of all Australian forces, military forces, from Iraq and the Straits of Hormuz.
Bevan, how would you sum up the situation?
The potential for military conflict in the Middle East is great, but this need not be the case. A first step towards peace would be for the United States, Australian and all other foreign military forces to leave Iraq and for the United States to cease its drone assassinations. The second step would be for the United States to rejoin the JCPOA agreement and, when Iran complied with the agreement as it was doing before the US unilaterally withdrew, for all sanctions to be lifted against Iraq. Unfortunately, due to the death-like grip the US-Australian military alliance has on Australian foreign policy, the Australian government continues to play the role of a US lapdog in the Middle East, in the South China Sea and elsewhere. US foreign policy is against the best interests of the Australian people and is leading us and the peoples of the world to disaster. Though it seems a trite statement, we need more than ever a truly independent foreign policy.